So all month, we've been talking about your ministry matters to God. And you know what? Everyone in this room, you're a minister. Oh, no, Pastor, you're the minister. No, no, no. My job is to equip you for the ministry. You're a priesthood. What's a priest? A minister. Every member is a minister. And every minister has a ministry. And you take that ministry, and number one, if you're a note taker, you minister to other people. Every member is a minister, and every minister has what? A ministry. Now, folks, if Church on the Rock didn't need you, God wouldn't have sent you here. If Church on the Rock didn't need your ministry, if Church on the Rock didn't need your calling, then God would have sent you someplace else. But God sent you here because we need you and your ministry here to fulfill what God's called this community to do. You're needed. You're special. You're wanted. I'm proud of you. We can't do it without you. So every member is a minister, and every minister has a ministry. Let me give you four things. With that ministry, number one, you're to minister one to another. You're to minister to other people. You see, I just love to hear you all loving on, encouraging, building up one another in the lobby, on the ramps, you know, before service, after service, between service, because we all are ministers, and we all have a ministry. What do we do with it? We're to minister to other people with it. Amen. And thank you for doing that every time you come. See, don't just come to consume, come to contribute. Because you have something to offer that no one else does. And you can do it in a way that no one else can do it. Amen. So every member is a minister, and every minister has a ministry, and with your ministry, four things, four. Number one, you minister to other people. Number two, you motivate other people. You know, by you serving, you can inspire other people to serve. The best recruitment is not me giving an announcement. The best recruitment is you serving so excited, on fire for God in your ministry, it motivates other people to want to get involved. Oh, wow. So every member is a minister. And your ministry matters to God. And with your ministry, number one, what do? You minister to other people. Number two, you motivate other people. And then number three, you model to others. You model to others. You know, our life is to be a light. It's to be salt. We're to be examples. The greatest motivation is your model. Our kids don't do what we say, they do what we do. So they're going to follow our example. So you're a minister, you have a ministry, it matters to God. What am I to do? Number one, you're to minister. And number two, you're to motivate. And number three, you're to be a model. And number four, what are you to do with it? You're to mentor. You're to mentor. You're to mentor. There are three kinds of people in your life you should have. Only three? Really, Pastor? There are only three kinds of people you should have in your life. Would you like to know who they are? The people who are behind you. The people who are walking beside you. And the people who are in front of you. Three kinds of people. You see, with your ministry, what do? You minister to those that are behind you. You minister to them. You model to them. You mentor them. The people that are with you by your side, where you are today spiritually, you fellowship with them. And the people that are way out there ahead of you, you learn from them. The people that are way out ahead of you, let them mentor you. Learn from them. The people that are beside you, you fellowship with them. You hang out. The people are way behind you, what do? You mentor them. You pour into their life through your ministry. Say it with me. I am a minister, and I have a ministry, and Church on the Rock needs me. Come on, let's celebrate that today. Come on, come on, give God a good praise. You know, I love, Kim and I love being grandparents. We love being grandparents. And you know, we have three grandkids right now. And the middle one, his name is Ethan David. And a couple years ago, we went to the happiest place on earth. How many of you know where that's at? Disney World, Disneyland. You know, it's marketed as the happiest place on earth. So a couple years ago, we took them all to Disneyland, our family and the grandkids, and we're there that day having a blast, having a ball. Isn't it amazing? We can wait in lines there. We won't go there. Anyway, we can wait in lines there, and you know, we're still having a blast, and we're having a great time. And sometime throughout the afternoon, I looked at Ethan. He was 7 at that time. I said, Ethan, if you could have anything in the world, if you could do anything in the world, what would it be? He said, Papaw, I would want to live here in Disneyland. He wants to live in the happiest place on earth. Well, it is happy, and it is awesome, and it puts the awe in your sum, awesome. It is great, but I've got one better than that. The happiest place on earth is when you are walking in your ministry. The happiest place on earth is when you're ministering to other people. The happiest place on earth is when you're modeling to others, when you're ministering to others, when you're mentoring others. The happiest place on earth, you see, the world can give us stuff, but only God can give us satisfaction. The happiest place on earth is when you and I are functioning in, following after God in our place, in the race, with God's grace, having a happy face. Amen? All right, so let me give you three calls today that we all have. I've given you two. I want to give you the third one. Look here with me. Are we ready to get into the Word? Okay. 2 Timothy 1:9. God has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. Not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Notice there's a grace that comes with His purpose and our callings. Do y'all see that there? There's a grace. Look at it again. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace. There's grace for your race. Oh, I like that. Every morning you should thank God for a new dose of His grace. That's a takeaway. Oh, yeah. Every morning. So notice two callings. Number one, we've all been called to be saved. We've all been called to be Christ followers, right, church? We've all been called to be Christians. We talked about last week that a Christian is a little Christ and how that we're to be models of the real thing, the real one. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You know, I'm not going to go to church because, you know, why does God do bad things to good people? God doesn't do bad things to good people. Why does God cause hurricanes? God doesn't cause hurricanes. Why does God send people to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go there. Okay? So the Bible says God's not willing that any perish. So God wants everybody to be saved, born again, Christians, Christ followers. Amen? That's the first call on our life. Secondly, we've all been called to serve. We've all been called to serve. He saved us, and then He called us. The call to be saved, and then the call to serve. So once we get saved, once we get born again, we're not just a set. You know, y'all know that I work out with my son, Daniel, and he's a certified coach, and he has a gym at his house. And what would happen, you know, Monday morning, he says, okay, Dad, after work, we're working out this afternoon. This is our workout. See you there about 6 o'clock, and we'll all work out. Okay, Daniel, see you there. And I wind up at his gym at his house at 6. I got all my stuff on, you know, and I'm ready to go. He lays it out. He puts it on a chalkboard there before we work out. And then he starts working out, and I just sit on the bench. How many of you know I won't grow through setting? Well, I think some people have this myth that just because I go to church, I'm going to grow. I won't grow by sitting in church, just like I won't build stronger muscles by sitting in a gym. Amen? Does that make sense? So notice the first calling is called to be saved. The second calling is the call to serve. Oh, I like that. Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. You can look on the overheads, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to give you the third call. Three, everyone say three. We all have three calls on our life. The call to be saved, the call to serve, and here's number three, the call to share. The call to share. Now, you and I share through our ministry. And your ministry is made up of your calling and your gifting. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But look what he says. But you are ones chosen by God. Boy, Kim talked about that today. You're sons and daughters of the Most High God. You're chosen by God. You're chosen for what? Not just to set, not to allow the devil to condemn you and harass you through shame and guilt and misfortune. Because we found out last week that God takes our mess ups, turns them into a message, right? A ministry. So he says, God has chosen the high calling of priestly work. Everybody see the word priestly? What is a priest? They're a minister. They're a minister. So it says, you are ones chosen by God. You're chosen for a ministry work. You're chosen to be holy people. God's instrument. You and I are God's instrument. Every one of us in this room, you are an instrument of God. God's instrument to do his work and to, help me, church, what's it say? And to, I can't hear you. Over here especially. What's it say? You've all been called. Every one of us. No, that's just for preachers. No. Each one of you have been called. So notice we've all had three calls in our life. Number one, the call to be saved. Oh, that's not good enough now, y'all. Call to be
saved.
And the call to
serve.
And thirdly, the call to
share.
Okay, look what he says, that we're to share out, speak out for him, tell others. Oh, family, please look at the overheads, this message paraphrase. To tell others of the night and day difference that God has made in your life. Pastor, I don't know the Bible. You don't need to know the Bible. If you're born again, you got a story. And you share your story through your personality. You share your story through your gifts, talents, and abilities that God gave you when you were born naturally. And then when you're born again, he put supernatural gifts, talents, and abilities in you. So you just speak out for him. And what do I do, Pastor? I don't know those numbers. What are they in the Bible? Those chapters, what does that mean? I don't know the Bible, Pastor. You don't need to know the Bible to fulfill this call. All you need to is have a story and just share your story. What should I share? You should share what you were like and now what you're like because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Wednesday night after church, I had a person walk up to me and they said, Pastor, on this verse, Wednesday night church after church, said, this verse. He said, can I tell you what happened? I said, sure. He said, I had been working through a relationship with a friend of mine for decades, over two decades. And I've been trying to get them to come to Church on the Rock, but I haven't preached at them. I haven't put them down. He said, I've just been trying to live it before him. And he said, you know, I would just try to model it. I just try to live it. I just shared my story. I would just share with them. And then he would see it because they worked together. And he said they would see how different I was, how different. We've been doing a series called Different on Wednesday nights. How different I was. And he said, Pastor, I just felt led to call and invite him 2 weeks ago. And he said, I called him up and I said, called him by name. I said, you know what? We've got a guest speaker at our church this weekend. His name is Mekong Carter, and he's going to be at our church. I think you would enjoy him. Come to church with me today. And do you know that that person came to church? They're telling me this Wednesday night. Came to church on that Sunday when we had that guest speaker, and when the altar call was given, his friend raised his hand and received Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, get excited about the church. Wow. That didn't happen through a message. That didn't happen through my teaching. That didn't happen through a sermon. That happened through a relationship over decades where that person saw the difference in this man that was telling me the story. Isn't that awesome? Next verse, verse 10. Because God made a difference in our life, he brought us from nothing. Man, isn't this so rich? He brought us from nothing. Have you ever felt like a nobody? Well, now, like Kim said today, you're a somebody. He brought you from nothing to something. He brought you from feeling rejected to feeling accepted. Isn't that good? So many people feel today rejected. They're not being heard. They're not being heard. They're not being honored. They're not being recognized. So many people today feel rejected. And you know what? Do you know why we have the signs on our windows, God is for you? Do you know why this weekend you should have saw it outside, people holding signs up like this with a smile, welcome home? Do you know why the door greeters, the first thing they say to you is, welcome home? Do you know why we're so intentional that mid-break in worship, the couple comes up and they say, welcome home? Do you know why in the video that, again, we say it one more time, welcome home? Do you know why we do that? So you will feel accepted. So you and your friends and your visitors who you invite, come on, somebody, you'll feel accepted. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, let's give God our best praise. Hallelujah. So isn't that great? You know, you have the first call, it's called to be saved. The second call is a call to serve. And the third call is a call to share. Wow. And we see the scriptures, how we've all been called to share. What do we share, Pastor? We share our story. Now, can I move on? I want to go on to your gifts. Do you know that God has given you three gifts? Everybody in this room. There are three gifts available. Now, what we do with them is up to us, right? What we do with them is up to us, if we accept them or reject them. So I gave you three callings. Everybody say three. Now I'm going to give you three gifts. Because the gifts match your calling. The gifts match your calling. Pastor, I'd like to know what my gifts are. I just don't know. 87% of people who go to church on a Sunday morning don't know their gifts. Well, I've got good news for you. The next hour at 11 o'clock, our growth track class that meets to my right, your left, meets every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And in that class, we give you all the material that you need to discover your gifts. Oh, that's cool. You can sign up today, get involved, plugged in, stay around for 11 o'clock and go to the class or come back next week every Sunday morning. But it's so important then, so let me give you these three gifts, okay? Look with me, if you would, in your Bible, or just follow along, Romans 6:23. Romans 6, verse 23. And we have it there. For the wages of sin is death. Now look for the word gift. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Not through works, not being perfect. God doesn't use perfect people. Amen. Come on, somebody. Wow, if he did, he couldn't use me. If he had to be perfect to be used, I couldn't be used. God uses imperfect people. Amen. So notice that the first gift is the gift of eternal life. I am so glad, should the Lord tarry, and the rapture, it didn't happen yesterday, the 23rd, but it will happen. Amen. And when it does, if I'm still alive and I get caught up, wow, I'm going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to get a new body. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, eternal life. And God's going to share his glory with you and me. Share his glory throughout eternity. And you'll rule and reign over cities, over states, over nations, over worlds. It's all in the Bible. If you know what your role is now, by the way, question, do you know what your role is at Church on the Rock? Because you do have a role. We've already established you're important. You're accepted. You're loved. We believe in you. We're proud of you. We need you, or God wouldn't have sent you here. He didn't send you here to set, because you'll never grow by setting, just like in the gym. I won't grow until I start exercising. Amen. So notice here that the gift of eternal life, that's the first gift. Number two, let's look at the second gift that we've all been given, and that's Acts 2:38. Am I helping anybody today? Acts 2:38. Look for the word gift. All right. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Three callings, three gifts. Your gifts and callings go together. It's called ministry. Your gifts and your callings go together, and it's called ministry. And what do you do with your ministry? You minister to others, you model them, you motivate them, and you mentor them. Amen. So this is the second gift. And how many of you know I need the Holy Spirit today to fulfill my calling? I got up today and I said, God, I need a fresh anointing. I need a new, fresh anointing to feed your people, to feed the flock, to love on them and lead them, intercede for them. God, I need a fresh anointing. You and I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. He empowers us, doesn't he? He enables us. He walks with us. He comforts us. He empowers us. He gives us confidence. He gives us direction. We hear his voice. And the stranger, a voice of a stranger, we will not listen to, right, church? So what's the first gift? The gift of eternal life. What's the second gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now can I give you your third gift? Everybody in this room, it's available to you. The third gift, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Look at Romans 12, verse 3 through 8. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, there are seven gifts listed. And they are given to each and every one proportionately, individually, in the community of the church. Now, there are more than seven. Actually, there are 27 listed in the New Testament. Did you know that? 27 gifts, spiritual gifts, in the New Testament. I'm going to whet your appetite with seven. But there are 27. And you need to be familiar with them because God has given each and every one of us this gift. Some of these gifts. So look what it says in Romans 12, 3. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you, each of you, each of you at Church on the Rock, each of you a warning. Don't think you are better than anybody else, or you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. He's simply saying humility. He's simply saying, if you want to discover these gifts, and see, when you were born in the natural realm, God gave you natural ability, talent, and skill. Am I right? Now, you're to take that and use it in the church. If you're a painter out there, you should be a painter in here. Volunteer on work day your painting skills. If you're a plumber out there, God gave you that gift. You're to volunteer and help us and volunteer on volunteer days with our plumbing, our facility. If you're an electrician, same thing. IT, same thing. If you're in leadership, if you're in management, if you work good with numbers, the church, there's a place for you. We need your help because we have a big vision. And you'll never grow by sitting idly with your ability, talent, and skill out in the world. If you're a musician out there, you should be a musician in here and not charge us. I love everybody, but God gave you that gift, talent, and skill, and whatever he gave you, that's your ministry in the local church. And it's the happiest place on earth. Amen? All right? So it's so important then. So humility helps us discover our ministry. Two words rhyme: humility and ministry. So through humility, what is that? God, I don't know what I'm to do, but God, I offer up my life to you. God, I don't want to do my thing. God, I want to do your thing. God, I surrender my will to your will. God, I have this career track all placed out, but God, if it's not your will, I'll change it. That's humility. God, I don't know everything, and God, I need you. And by the way, God, the older I get, the smarter you get. You found that out? So humility. Now, let's go on to the next verse, verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. Everyone say function.
Function.
Yeah. So your function follows your form. When you discover your form, you'll know your function. When you discover how God made you, you'll know your ministry. Does that make sense? If I showed you a hammer, Just the form of a hammer, you would know its function. Just the form of a hammer, you know its function. Next verse, verse 5. So it is with Christ's body, the church, the community. We are many parts, but one body. And we all, I like this, belong to each other. Everybody's looking for a place to belong. Folks, we belong to each other in the body. In his grace, God has given us, each of us, what? Different, here's the word gift, gifts. Here's your third gift. The first gift is eternal life. The second gift, what was it? I forgot already. Wow, the Holy Spirit. And then the third gift is spiritual gifts. When you got born again, when you became a Christ follower, listen very carefully, on that day, the Holy Spirit dispersed. A committee didn't do it. A board didn't do it. Your parents didn't do it. Your friends didn't do it. Your enemies didn't do it. The government didn't do it. The Holy Spirit dispersed. We can't choose it. We just discover them. The Holy Spirit dropped into your reborn spirit gifts, talents, and abilities. And you take your natural and your spiritual. You take your calling and your gifts, mix it together, and that's called your ministry. The gifts that you got when you were born again are supernatural. The gifts you got when you were born naturally are natural. You want natural armor and spiritual armor, and you mix it together, and you have a ministry. Oh, am I helping anybody today? All right, so he goes on here. In his grace, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. How are we to do in the local church whatever we're doing? Do it well. Be on time. Be there. If I can't, replace someone with me. Do it well. Be disciplined. Be consistent. Give God my best. We're to take these gifts that God gave us, and we're to serve him and each other and do it well. We call it with excellence. So God, if he's given you the gift to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. That's number one. Verse seven. If your gift is serving others, serve them how? Not half-heartedly. Well. If you are a teacher, see, if you have a natural teaching gift, then you should be teaching at Church on the Rock, a class, children's ministry, youth ministry, young adults, Inspire, Uprising. You should use that gift God gave you in the natural, use it in the spiritual, and let God anoint it. Oh, praise the Lord. Next verse, verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's to give, give generously. If you have leadership, then step up and take it seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. Now, there's 7 of the 27. It's so important that you and I know why God made us and we're functioning in our ministry. I want to show you one more verse. Is that cool? Is that okay? This is the best one of the whole weekend right here. This is the best one of the whole weekend. Let's go to Psalm 139. We're going to put it all together. Our series ends today. We're going to put it all together. And notice here what it says. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. Talking to God, this is David. He said, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Next verse. Thank you. Everybody say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully and fearfully complex. For your workmanship, that's you folks, is marvelous. Now look at this. Don't miss it. 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 This is the whole crux. This is the cherry on the top. This is why we did it all month. Notice he said, how well I know it. If you don't know why he made you, you'll never know your ministry. If you don't know your gifts, talents, and ability, and your callings and your gifts, if you don't know it, then you'll miss out on your ministry. It's only when you know it. I know why you made me. I know why you put me here. I've discovered my gifts, talents, and abilities. I'm growing them. I'm ministering to others. I'm motivating people. I'm being a model, and I'm a mentor. Now, until you know it, the next first verse will never happen for you. Until you and I know it, the next verse will never happen for you and I. It's so important that you know why God put the color of skin that he did on you. The color of eyes, the color of hair, why he put you here right now, your personality, your makeup. Everything about you, the experiences, your education, your family, your rearing, everything. You need to know why God made you. And when you get a revelation of it, you'll be thankful. And you won't want to be anybody else. Do y'all see that? I thank you, God, because now I'm stopped wrestling with who I am. I don't want to be anybody else. God, I'm so thankful. I got it. I see it. I hear it. I got the revelation. God, thank you. Now I know why you made me. And now I know what my ministry is, and it's the happiest place on earth. What would happen if you never know your ministry, your gifts, talents, and abilities, your calling? Last weekend, after the 11 o'clock service, team is coming out right now. Last weekend at the 11 o'clock service, it was over, and I walked right over here, and there was a couple that came up to me. They said, Pastor Blunt, do you remember me? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I really don't. He said, we used to come years ago in the North Campus. This had to be years ago, you know, 15 years at least, 20, because we've been in this building 14 years. So he said, it was a long time ago. He said, I ran a TV camera for your TV ministry in the North Campus. And he said, you know, I was married, and my wife got pregnant. And my wife got pregnant, and he said, we were struggling a season right then and there. And he said, she wanted to abort the baby. She wanted to have an abortion. She didn't want to have the baby. For whatever reason, you know, stress, struggle, lies of the enemy, whatever. And he said, that morning, we came forward for prayer, and Pastor Kim laid hands on us. And he said, Pastor Kim laid hands on us and prayed. And he said, something happened that day, Pastor. He said, my wife then decided we weren't going to have an abortion. He said, we had the baby. It was a daughter, a beautiful daughter. He said, we actually wanted to name her after Pastor Kim. He said, can I show you her picture? He said, she's in college today, doing well. What would have happened that day, family? If Pastor Kim would have stayed home, if Pastor Kim hadn't answered the call, if Pastor Kim would have said, I'm not going into the ministry, if Pastor Kim said, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. She wanted to be a veterinary. If she would have done her own thing, what would have happened that Sunday morning? I don't know. You don't know. But what's happening when you and I aren't fulfilling our calling, our ministry? Church, I need you. This ministry needs you. People in this community need you. Now, I'm going to give you that one more verse. Can I, real quick? I'm going to do it anyway. Can I? Okay. Okay. Because this is the best one right here. Next verse. You watched me as I was being formed. Next verse. Verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Now, look at this. It all goes together. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out. Every single day. Folks, you got to be intentional on every day, because God planned out every day. God has a book already written about your life. God has a book already written about your life. And the ending is well. The ending is good. The ending is great. But if you and I don't know our ministry, if you and I aren't walking in our ministry, if you and I aren't discovering the callings and the gifts, then we're going to miss out on why God made us, and we're going to miss out on what God has planned for us every single day of our life. And we're going to end up wasting our life because we wrote our own book instead of allowing God to help us with the book he's already wrote for you and me. Did y'all get anything today? I'm out of time. Would you give the Lord a big praise?